Well, this morning, we're going to go all the way back to the first book in the Bible, to Genesis, as we look at the story of one of the most famous people in prison, I would say, Joseph. And specifically about how he gets there and what does he do when he is there. And what we're going to be looking at for our own lives as we apply this is the idea of how we can persevere in our trials, in our circumstances. How do we persevere when we feel ourselves in a figurative way in a prison? It could be something as simple as just a bad job and you don't know how to get out of it. It could be a relationship that is difficult. It could be health and life circumstances. What do we do? How do we persevere? How do we respond to this situation? And I think Joseph is a great person to look at for this, because it's really him being in jail isn't the beginning of his troubles. His troubles begin years prior with his brothers, who are jealous of him and angry with him, and get to the point where they hate him and they want to kill him. And then they sell him into slavery, into Egypt. Well, actually, they just sell him to some traveling Midianites, who then take him down and sell him in Egypt. And he serves as a slave until he is falsely accused and thrown into prison. And that's what we're going to pick up with today, is what happens in that situation. He's serving in the house of a man named Potiphar, who is the captain of the Pharaoh's guard. So he's a powerful person and a well-positioned person. And as Joseph is working for him, everything that Joseph touches, in essence, benefits and is blessed. And so as he's working, Potiphar notices that whatever this guy is given, he prospers, and so he gives him control of his entire house. But remember, he's a slave. But he's put in charge of everything underneath Potiphar. And unfortunately, Potiphar's wife sees Joseph, and she'd like to have Joseph in a biblical way, you might say. And Joseph refuses her. He says, "No, I can't do that." And so she comes up with a lie. So not only is he enslaved by his brothers betraying him and selling him, but on top of that, he is falsely accused and thrown into jail because of a false statement. So if anybody in the world, in history, had a right to really feel put upon, to really feel like they were getting a bad deal, I would say it would have been Joseph. And where we're going to pick up is in chapter 39, verse 19, as he is put into jail. And we're going to go ahead and just look at this passage real quick, and then we'll break it down a bit. But in verse 19, we read, "Now when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, 'This is what your slave did to me,' his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper." Now, one of the first things I want us to notice about Joseph, besides the fact that there are certain things that become somewhat repetitive: whatever Joseph did when he was working for Potiphar, he prospered. Now, whatever he does in jail, he prospers. But notice that there's another thing that's kind of consistent. And what you see in Joseph's life is he even as he is sold into slavery, even as he serves Potiphar, even as he comes into jail, One of the things that he does is that he accepts the situation that he is in. You know, I don't know if I would be happy about being put in charge of things in jail. I'm not only in jail, but now I'm responsible for other people. I mean, that's like the bad end of both sticks. There's nothing of benefit in that in my mind, in my eyes. And yet what Joseph does is he accepts the situation that he is in. And we need, as we think about our struggles and the things that we go through, the first step, I think, is that we need to accept our situation. We need to come to grips with and acknowledge and allow as how, yeah, this is what I am going through. This is what is happening to me. If I'm sick, you know, it does us no good to deny the fact that we're sick. We have to say, yeah, I'm sick. If we're in a bad relationship, you know, saying everything's great doesn't get you very far. In other words, we have to come to grips with the truth and acknowledge the truth and accept the truth. That doesn't mean that we have to do everything we can to stay there. In fact, what we see of Joseph is that he doesn't stay in that position, or he doesn't just accept it and then do nothing else. Now he accepts the position. We see that in chapter 39, verse 8, when Potiphar's wife is coming up to him and trying to seduce him and saying, "Lie with me." He refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. He has put all that he owns in my charge." Joseph was the favorite son of his father, Jacob. He was in charge of things at home. He was given an elevated position over his brothers, and his brothers sold him into slavery. He had everything. I mean, if you want to think about, like, in the New Testament with the prodigal son, he's like the prodigal son, except he didn't say, "Dad, I want my inheritance." He was sent into a far land by the other brothers, and yet he accepts that he is now a slave. And he even acknowledges Potiphar as his master. Just try to put yourself into his position just for a little bit. How would you deal if today all that you had, you were taken away from? You were thrown into a pit and then sold to strangers and taken to a distant country. I don't know about you, but I'm not wired to accept that. I think as Americans in general, we are not wired to accept the situation that we are in if it's bad like that. Our whole idea is that we can change our situation. But Joseph accepted it. He not only accepted it when he was thrown into slavery, he accepted it when he was put into jail. He didn't agree with it, but he did what he could while he was there. Later on, we're skipping over it, but the king's cupbearer and the king's baker are thrown into jail because Pharaoh is upset with them, and Joseph is caring for them and seeing to their needs. They're put under his responsibility, and he cares for them. He accepts the fact that he's in jail, that's his role, and this is his job right now, is to take care of these people, to the point where he even interprets their dreams. But even as he's interpreting the dreams, when he finishes interpreting the cupbearer's dream, he says to him in verse 14, he says, "Only keep me in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house." He's looking for freedom. He says, "For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. And even here I've done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon." Now he accepts the fact that he's in Egypt. And he accepts the fact that he was put in this dungeon. And he's working on it. But that doesn't mean he's not willing to try and do what he can to get out. That doesn't mean he's not willing to say, "Hey, remember me. Do me a kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh because I was brought to this country wrongly. I've been wronged by being brought here, and I haven't even done anything that I should have been thrown into jail. So there's a thing about acceptance. Accepting a situation doesn't mean you can't work to change it. But we've got to accept that this is the situation, and while we're in it, do the best we can with it, which I think is what Joseph is doing. He's taking care of people in jail. He's not hoping to be there forever. He isn't consigning himself to the reality that, oh, I'm never getting out of here. No, he's taking advantage of any opportunity, and maybe he takes really good care of the cupbearer and the baker because he's thinking, hey, these guys are close to the king. I'm going to take good care of them. If they get out of here, maybe I can get out of here too. But he still, the first step is he accepts that situation. I think there's something in that that it would be good for. There's a humility in accepting your situation. And unfortunately, like I said, I think as Americans, we struggle to have that humility. We think we can change it. We can just vote the right people in and we're going to change it. Are you pregnant? We can take that out of you. We can fix that for you nowadays. Are you not pregnant? Well, we can fix that too. Are you poor? You can change that. You've got no right to be poor except for your own self. You can pull yourself up from your bootstraps. We have this idea that we can fix and change just about anything. If somebody is choking, we've got the Heimlich maneuver. If their heart stops, we can give them CPR. We can do it. And we've developed this mentality that we can fix just about anything. We still struggle to accept the fact that, you know, sometimes we're going to die. That there are limits to what medicine can do. Because we see on TV and in movies, so many things get fixed so quickly and easily. We don't accept sometimes the situation that we are facing. I remember hearing a British comedian talking about the difference between American and British comedy, and he felt that one of the reasons was because Americans, everybody grows up believing they can become whatever they want to be. And it's displayed in our comedy. Whereas in England, you grow up knowing that you can't become whatever you want to be, that there are limits to your life. And if you're in a certain status, you're probably going to stay in that certain status. You know, and that's not just for everybody else. I mean, we see that in the royal family. The queen couldn't just quit being the queen. As we're seeing right now with a couple that live here in America, when a royal tries to not be royal, it's a mess. And that's the way the British people think. But in America, we have this idea we can change this situation. So we struggle to accept the situation that we're in. But that's what Joseph did. He accepted it. He accepted that he was enslaved. He accepted that he was in jail. But he worked to do what he could to make his situation better. He worked to do what he could to get out of it. And so as we accept our situation, we need to recognize that our circumstances do not change our purpose. You know, just because our situation changes and we accept it doesn't mean that those circumstances that we find ourselves in change our purpose. They don't. Here's one of the neat things I see in what happens to Joseph. If you go back to the very beginning of chapter 39, in verse 4, I'm wanting to go to? Let me go to 22, excuse me. I'm not following my own notes so well. In 22, we read, "The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail." Right? We read that earlier. He committed to Joseph all the prisoners who were in the jail. They're put into Joseph's charge. Well, if we go back prior to that into Genesis chapter 39, verse 4, we read, "So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant," meaning Potiphar, "and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. And so we get this repetitive language happening. It happens in the jail. It happened prior when he was serving Potiphar. But if you go even beyond that, if you go back to chapter 37, you see a similar thing happening at the very beginning of the record of Joseph, you might say, where we're told Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pastoring the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth. And what he does is he gives a bad report of his brothers to his father. He tattles on them. And so it upsets his brothers, but his dad is so happy with Joseph and likes Joseph so much that verse 3 of 37 tells us, Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a very colored tunic. And we always, as children, it was always, Joseph and his coat of many colors, right? And it never made quite a lot of sense. Why couldn't everybody have lots of colors? Well, the word that we translate, that we have traditionally and historically translated as very colored or multicolored or many colors, it's a word that means flat. And it's the idea that it's a coat that goes to your hand. In other words, a long-sleeved coat. The only other place this word is in the Bible is in 2 Samuel when David's daughters are described as wearing long sleeve robes, and his daughter rips hers. So now this might make it a little bit more, I know it ruins our childhood, but if we interpret it not as multicolored or very colored coat, but a long sleeved coat. See, the focus on the sleeves gives him status. Long sleeves mean less work. And in fact, that's what we see. That's how Joseph gets into trouble in the first place. His brothers are out with the flocks, and he is at home with his dad. And his dad says, hey, I'm going to send you to your brothers. And Joseph says, I'll go. And his dad specifically says, when you go to your brothers, I want you to see about what they are doing. He says to him, where is it? I had it here. He says to him when he wants to send him off, I want you to check about the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock and bring word back to me. And so Joseph, if here's the funny thing, he's put in charge in Potiphar's house, he's put in charge in the jail, but what we don't quite always recognize is that he was put in charge even at his dad's house and his dad's property. He was put in charge over his brothers. So Joseph always kind of had this job of being put in charge of things. And when he was the free son of Jacob, he was put in charge. And when he was taken into slavery, he was put into slavery, but over time, his abilities came apparent, and he was put in charge. And then when he was accused and thrown into jail, well, he was the same person. His circumstances had changed. He went from freedom to slavery to jail. His circumstances had changed, but he had not. He was still the same person. He still had the same work. Our circumstances do not change our purpose. And so when you think about who you are and what you're able to do and how you live in this world, well, our circumstances may change. We may not be able to do the same things. Joseph was no longer able to be in charge of his brothers when he was enslaved. And when he was thrown into jail, he was no longer in charge of all of Potiphar's household. But his basic work and who he was, his purpose in life, continued. And here's the kicker. A few years later, after the cupbearer remembers Joseph because of Pharaoh's dream that nobody can tell, and he says, there was a guy in jail that can tell dreams. Joseph comes and he tells Pharaoh what his dreams mean. And then what does he do? Pharaoh only wanted an interpretation. But Joseph interprets and then prescribes a course of action. Do this. Find somebody who you can put in charge and do these things. And what does Pharaoh do? Pharaoh says, who else has wisdom Who else can tell us but the person who actually told us this dream? And so Joseph goes from being in charge of his father's household to being in charge of his master Potiphar's household to being in charge of a group of people in jail to being in charge of Egypt. And Pharaoh puts all of Egypt under Joseph's control, and the only person who is above Joseph is Pharaoh. Just like Potiphar put his entire household under the control of Joseph, and only Potiphar was above Joseph. He kept getting in the same situation. His circumstances changed, but who he was and what he did remained the same. And the same is true for us. We may go through difficult times. We may have hardship that we face. We might have blessings and good things that happen. We need to keep track of the fact that we're the same person. Whether things are going badly or things are going superb, we're the same. We need to stay the same. Our circumstances are not going to change our purpose. And what is our purpose? As a broad umbrella idea, our greatest purpose and the thing that we all can do is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And that ends up being different for each one of us. You know, what is our work? What is our activity, our calling in life? For me to glorify God is different than for you to glorify God. I might enjoy Him in one way, you enjoy Him in another way, but we're all enjoying Him, what He has provided for us, the knowledge of Him, worshiping Him, serving Him. And to glorify God is something you can do no matter what condition you're in, what circumstances you find yourself in. If we're healthy, we can glorify Him. If we're not healthy, we can glorify Him. Yeah. Just because we get sick, and I'm preaching to myself here, because, you know, when I get sick, I become a baby. Nobody has ever felt pain like I feel pain when my fever is high. No, that's not. We got to be the same people. We can't just all of a sudden become mean to people because we don't feel well. We can't all of a sudden become harsh and short-tempered. Oh, we get to be the same person. There are so many times when things have blown up in my face, and I just go back to the beginning. Well, what can I do? Well, what have I been called to do? Well, I'll preach. You know, try a lot of different things and a lot of different activities, and we've tried them. Well, what can I still continue to do? Well, I can preach. That's my thing. Our circumstances may change. Our situation may be altered, but who we are and what we do, how we can serve, how we can love the people around us, those things will continue no matter our circumstances. And here's the thing that I think really helps to make this work. What we see in this passage of Joseph going to prison, and it's, we've seen it even in, as we've looked back at him being a slave, is how God has provided for him, and God made what he did to prosper. And over and over and over again, the refrain is the Lord was with Joseph. And I think that's a key thing, that we need to know by faith that God is with us, even in our hardship. We need to know. We need to know by faith. And I put in the by faith there because I don't know about you, but I don't have a narrator telling me that God was with me. I don't have a narrator when I'm going through struggles and when things are happening and it feels like God's not there. I don't have that narrator saying, oh, but God was with him. And sometimes it feels like God's not with you. It feels like maybe he's forgotten you. Maybe there are other people he cares about more because he's putting you through this. And there is this dichotomy in this passage. As we go through it, in verse 21, it tells us, so Joseph has been accused. He has been thrown into jail. He's in the prison where the king's prisoners are confined. And then verse 21, but all this bad stuff is happening in Joseph's life, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. And I kind of question, I don't know about you, but what kind of kindness is it that you got to be put in charge of other people when you're in jail? That doesn't seem like kindness to me. Don't put me in charge of people. You know, in the Marine Corps in boot camp, they had squad leaders and then what we called the guide on. And these guys, if everybody messed up, those guys got extra PT. They got sweated out. They got to do push-ups and jumping jacks and flutter kicks and all sorts of things. And I remember as a kid thinking about getting into the Marine Corps, oh, I wanted to be the guide on. I wanted to be up there in front. And then I saw them getting thrashed for things that I had done and other people with me had done. And I thought, I don't want to get thrashed for anybody but myself. And all of a sudden, all that desire to be up there in front really kind of died away. Kind of like not being a squad leader. Kind of like not having any of that responsibility. Let me just take care of getting myself out here. And yeah, I think if I was in jail, that would be my mentality as well. I don't want to worry about other people. Let me worry about keeping myself alive and keeping myself above water. But Joseph, God extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. That was all. Now, to me, I'm sitting there thinking that doesn't seem so good. But of course, we know that God was doing this for the benefit that Joseph would be in a place that God would get him out of there and put him in charge of Egypt. And we know that as Joseph looked at it, when the famine came and his family finally came to Egypt, he said to his brothers, look, you guys meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so Joseph understood that God is working in all things for the good of those who love him. And Joseph recognized God was working in this. It didn't feel very good at the time. It didn't feel good when I was enslaved. And it didn't feel very good when I was thrown in jail. But God was working in it all. The Lord was with Joseph, extended kindness to him, gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Not only that, in verse 23, again, we see the chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. So the focus is definitely on God is the one who's doing it. And every time you see Lord like that, where it's all caps like that, it's the name of God. It's personal. It's not just the title, it's his name. He made Joseph's work prosper. And we see this even in the very beginning of the chapter, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. And again, the dichotomy, here he is a slave, and yet Genesis tells us he became a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. But everything he touched, everything he did, the Lord made to prosper, because the Lord was with Joseph. And I wonder, did Joseph know that the Lord was with him all this time? Did Joseph at that moment, did he feel? I mean, just again, put ourselves back into if your brothers, if your family threw you into a pit, debated killing you, and then decided just to sell you, to get rid of you. And you're dragged on that caravan route to Egypt, and you're sold to a stranger. How many nights do you think he didn't think that Joseph was sitting there not feeling like God was with him? How many times do you think that he must have felt, what has my life become? It's so easy to read it, but this was years of his life this took. And I'm sure there were some dark days when he didn't feel like the Lord was with him. We're reminded regularly in Scripture the Lord was with him. We see it there. But I would think that Joseph probably didn't always feel that way. And, you know, I bet you don't feel that way all the time either. I bet you there are times in your life, like there are times in my life, where it feels like God isn't with me. God has forgotten me. God is being cruel and not taking care of my situation, not taking me out of this pain, not taking me out of this struggle. Where is He? I thought He loved me. And yet, we see that, no, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. But we don't have that narrator telling us that. That's why we really, it's got to be by faith. Because we don't see it. We don't always feel it. We don't always know it as fact that God is with us. We have to know it by faith. That He does love you. That He does care for you. That He is with you even in your hardship. Remember, you will call Him Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us in our struggles, in our hardship. He has sent Jesus to be among us. So we have to believe and trust that He is with us even when we don't feel like it, even when we're struggling, even when we're going through our hardship. And that may be easier for some people and harder for others. But we got to believe it, to live it by faith, to know it by faith. And remember, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You do not necessarily feel it. You do not necessarily see it. That's why it's faith. But know that even in your hardship, the Lord is with you. And that your circumstances do not change your purpose in Him. To glorify Him, to honor Him, to worship Him in your life. So maybe if we believe those things, trust that He is with us, trust that this doesn't change who I am, maybe then we can accept this is the place that God has me for this moment. I don't know why, but I can trust Him because He's with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are with us and that You do love us. We thank You, Father, that You are working in all things for the good of those who love You, who are called according to Your purpose. Lord, we ask that You would help us to believe it, to know it by faith. Sometimes it doesn't feel like You're with us, and sometimes it feels like You're letting it go too long. We wonder when You're going to answer, when You're going to step in, when You're going to change our circumstances. Lord, help us to trust You. Help us to continue to work in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. May we continue to strive to glorify You, to serve You, to do the best we can with what You have given us. And Lord, we pray that we would trust You, knowing that You have put us here and that You will see us through. Father, for those of us that are dealing with things today, for our health, our work, grief that we carry, Lord, help us to know today that You're with us, that You love us, that You're working for our good. We ask in Jesus' name.